The May 27th rain report is coming your way in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the dry confines of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with some technical but very listenable insights behind the so-called high-tech party balloons. Ham radio ballooning used to require large balloons and only afforded limited onboard technology. Not so here in 2017. Bill Brown, WB8ELK, is a major ham radio balloon pioneer who has launched a number of so-called balloon sats that have circled the globe. Bill's balloon sat forum was one of the Friday morning forums in Room 2 at the Dayton Hamvention in its new Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center home in Xenia, Ohio, May 19th through the 21st. All did not go well with the audio from the four forum rooms that the Rain Report relies on for a great deal of its podcasts. You'll hear what we had to deal with during various presentations in this excerpt from Bill Brown, WB8ELK's talk we dubbed High Tech Party Balloons.
Welcome to the Balloon Sat Forum and our new digs here at the Greene County Fairgrounds. It'll take some getting used to after going to the Hera Arena for 47 years for me. This is going to be a little different, but so far the buildings are pretty nice and I like the arrangement. Can everybody hear me okay? Over this diesel engine that's running over here and the air conditioning unit. So I'll try and talk loud enough so that you all can see. How many of you have launched a regular latex weather balloon on a mission? It's basically a big weather balloon. They're about 8 foot in diameter on the ground, and they carry up to 12 pounds without getting an FAA waiver. 6 pounds per payload is the maximum. And we carry a lot of school experiments. You've probably seen action figures with the edge of space and the blackness of space on various news media. And it's a great school STEM project. They launch them in middle schools and high schools and colleges and all kinds of neat stuff. I've done that for 30 years now, and I decided to do a little different system, much smaller, much lighter. I'm going to show you how we can launch a balloon completely around the world using APRS and or Whisper. A Pico balloon is basically one of those happy birthday Mylar party balloons. They cost $3 a piece. We can go out and get one of those tanks of helium from a dollar store or Walmart and inflate one, and you'll still have some gas left over. You inflate them about a third of the way full. You have to get the lift precisely right, about 3 grams more lift than the weight of your experiment. So the challenge is, how can you put an APRS transmitter or even a Whisper transmitter on something that can only lift a half an ounce? Well, you make a transmitter that weighs less than half an ounce. And so here are some examples of some of the handful of us hams that are designing these kind of micro payloads. They all weigh anywhere from 6 grams to about 20 grams or so. KT5TK from Texas, and also he lives in Germany, he's done the Pecan Pico 4. Alan Adamson, W7QO, he's designed a variety of low-power transmitters and lightweight transmitters on both HF and APRS, and he's from Georgia, and he's currently holding the record of 17 laps around the world. Mike Janowski, KD2EAT, he's got a WISP-1 Whisper transmitter. Guess what we're using for an antenna on 20-meter Whisper? It weighs 3 grams or less. Magnet wire and fishing line. And believe it or not, 20 milliwatts to a magnet wire antenna that weighs 3 grams works pretty well if you're running Whisper because of the weak signal capability of it. UB, it's University of Bristol, so they have a student program and they've been flying balloons around the world from Great Britain. Poland, SP9UOB, he's been doing a number of flights. Leo, M0XER, he has been around, he launched 64 balloons before he got a few around the world, and he's been around the world 9 times with his transmitters. Andy VK3YT from Australia, he has flown a party balloon around the world 2 times. And QRP Labs, his payloads have been flying through Dave, VE3KCL, and I think a fellow in Germany, and maybe somebody in Hong Kong. So there's about a dozen of us that are flying these PICO balloons around the world. The problem on APRS is this map. No one could figure out a standardized frequency for APRS worldwide. The red is United States, 144.39, and a little part of Colombia, and down in Indonesia. The rest of the world seems to like 144.8, which is the European, Russian. I don't know if there's a whole lot of activity in Central Africa, but they do show it. There is in South Africa. China, 144.64, but Japan is 144.66, and South Korea in between is 144.62. Why couldn't they just agree on one frequency? So the problem is, this is a SkyTracker board that I designed. I have to program it with a geofencing algorithm to switch frequencies over whatever part of the world is using these frequencies. That's one of the real challenge to using APRS on a worldwide balloon, because it has to know where it is and switch to their local network on APRS. There are certain areas that are do not transmit. Believe it or not, UK, Yemen, and, of course, North Korea. We don't want to be starting World War III. It certainly wouldn't be good for ham radio to be the cause. We have overflown North Korea, but we can't transmit while over there. So we kind of know it went across there. So we design a box, a geofence box, around the country that you don't want to transmit. Here's an example of a flight that a middle school did from Baxter, Minnesota. They sent up one of my boards on a fairly large balloon, which I'll describe in a minute. And they were the first middle school to send a ham radio balloon around the world. KD2EAT, Mike, and Allen W7QO came up with a point-in-polygon geofencing, an integer-based, which can fit in a little microcontroller. There's a routine you can find on the internet that's in floating point. They modified that routine, and it works rather well. I don't know why the United Kingdom is lumped in with Yemen and North Korea. But apparently it's some law that's been held over since World War II that you cannot operate amateur radio from anything that flies above the ground. And balloons are part of that.
You're listening to an excerpt from a talk by ham radio balloon sat pioneer Bill Brown, WB8ELK, given at the 2017 Dayton Hamvention in Xenia, Ohio. We'll conclude this excerpt from Bill's high-tech party balloon talk in a moment. The Rain Report is available on therainreport.com, via Twitter at The Rain Report, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I decided with all the fun that was going on, I would join in and design a half-ounce transmitter. I call it the SkyTracker. On the left is a U-Blox GPS receiver. That little white chip is a GPS antenna. It's got an Atmel 328, which is programmable in the Arduino language. I did that because a lot of colleges use the Arduino system. It's basically C, but it does a lot of the routines in the background for you. Most of the other guys are using the Silicon Radio SI5351A or the 4463. Those are the seem to be the most popular chips, but they put out about 12 milliwatts. There are ways to get them to get a little bit more power. I opted for a Cypress chip synthesizer. This is just a clock synthesizer, by the way. And I just output the clock synthesizer into a low-pass filter, and right out, that's my transmitter. And Cypress makes this particular one. I get about 25 milliwatts on APRS and about the same power on whisper mode on 20 meters. Put it on 30 meters as well. I put a super cap on the back. I found this really lightweight super cap. It's 0.47 farad. It's designed probably for laptops, notebooks and things. And it helps the efficiency of the solar cell. And if you have brief dropouts, it'll cover that for upwards of a minute. I get the boards done from hackvana.com, and they're in China. These boards are really high quality, and I get them almost a quarter thickness of normal PC boards to cut down the weight. They do a pretty good job, and they get them within about 2 weeks. I designed the board in Eagle, and I send them the files, and 2 weeks later, I get blank PC boards. Then I have to hand solder them. How do you solder this? A magnifying glass, a steady hand, and fine solder, and a fine tip. but you can also make your own reflow oven out of a toaster oven if you want to go that route if you're doing a batch of them. I'm using flexible solar panels. Now, they aren't as efficient as some of the monocrystalline ones, and they're a little heavier, but I can do that to them. If I tried that with a monocrystalline cell, it'd be broken. They're pretty brittle if you don't put a backing on them. Power Film Solar, and these are their OEM 3.5-75, I think, MBT. They're really lightweight. They weigh a gram and a half each. I wanted them because they're pretty rugged. I can bang this into the ground, drop it on the floor, brush up against it, and students can do this to it, because a lot of STEM programs are using these kind of flights to learn about space science, because they're basically launching their own little satellite around the world very slowly, 11 to 14 days usually. So I come in at about 12 grams, which is just right for a little party balloon. Easily launched by one person in a moderate wind. We had the entire sixth grade class at West Point Middle School in Cullman, Alabama out, and we had one of the students let one go. It went to Florida and down to Jamaica. How far can they go? On a party balloon, you can probably get upwards of 2 weeks. You could potentially go completely around the world on one. My first one went to Sweden, but there's a problem. There aren't any APRS receive stations in the middle of the Atlantic. See, the coverage is great in the United States and Europe, but in the middle of Siberia, it can be a little dicey in the North Pole unless we want to put APRS receive stations on polar bears. So I think we're going to have to look for a little different method. Believe it or not, by the way, one of the student groups flew across Siberia where there were no APRS ground stations, and I tuned into a WebSDR website, and I found one in Siberia, and I could hear the balloon packet bursts. So on my laptop, I fed the audio into Direwolf, which is a free APRS program, set it up as an iGate. So I was actually iGating APRS packets from 7,000 miles away, and the power of the internet hooked to an SDR receiver in Siberia, I was iGating APRS packets for a full day. A lot of neat things can be done. Whisper is one of the most ideal methods to do a long-duration balloon, because there are an existing ground station of receive stations all over the world listening all the time. It's a propagation program. Weak signals, 20 milliwatts, can be heard on the other side of the world. And I actually had a report while I was over, you see, I'm over the Atlantic with this particular balloon, and I have a report coming from Australia. The challenge is, you just get raw data of your grid square, power level, and call sign. That's it. But you can pick it up from a central database on their website. So I wrote a Python script to grab the data from WhisperNet, reformat it, and I send a second transmission with a call sign that begins with a 0, 1, or Q, because there are no valid call signs. I send it right after my regular Whisper transmission. The telemetry of battery voltage and temperature, altitude, and the 5th and 6th grid square are embedded in the call sign and the power level. The power level is the altitude. I mix that all together with my Python script, and I send it to APRS FI, and it shows up as an APRS object. There it is, right in the middle of the Atlantic, no APRS stations, on tracker.habhub.org, which gets its data from APRS FI. So it shows up on both the balloon tracking site as if it was an APRS object. Lately, I've been using a balloon that is about 3 by 7.5 feet. It's about the size of a big leaf bag made out of sushi wrap that's supplied by fellows who do high altitude ballooning in San Jose, K6RPT and his son Lee. They are offering these balloons to the ballooning community for, I believe, $189. But it's worth it because these balloons will take you around the world multiple times. Mine went around 6 times over the course of 75 days, floating at 42,000 feet. They're not hard to fill. You have to iron the nozzle, but it works pretty well. Helps to have a barn, though. My first attempt landed in the tree behind the barn. Sat there for a week transmitting all over the country. I got great whisper reports from everywhere, but it was 60 feet up behind my barn. My friend Shane climbed the tree and pulled it back down. My second attempt, the balloon had been damaged in shipping and had a hole in it that I didn't see, so it went up, came back down an hour later and landed 4 miles away. But it's a 6-digit grid square. That's a 2 by 3 mile area. Try and find a needle in a haystack about this size in a 6-square-mile area. So we were getting reception reports. We knew where it was within that area because we had reports from 1,000 miles away that it was sitting 4 miles from my house, kind of 4 miles. We spent a whole day listening to the signal and DFing it on a harmonic on 2 meters, and we finally found it hanging on a fence post behind this guy's barn about 4 miles from my house. We just got really lucky. So I tried again. This is actually not the one that went around the world. This one went to Morocco. Picture a magnet wire antenna 34 feet long, and that's the one I sent around the world.
And that concludes our first excerpt from the 2017 Dayton Hamvention, featuring Bill Brown, WB8ELK, pioneer of ham radio balloon sats, including what some dub high-tech party balloons. Bill spoke at the BalloonSat Forum at the 2017 Dayton Hamvention in Xenia, Ohio. You can read a whole lot about the BalloonSat program on YouTube and on Google. The Rain Report can be transmitted over amateur radio via Community Commons license from therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and iTunes.